Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzing with you today with Aaron Boyer of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. We're talking about China in just a moment. It's the first big sale of 2020 for Superior Video Livestock Auction. Bell Ringer 33, broadcast live from Denver, January 8th and 9th. It'll be on Dish Network 997, SLA TV, and SuperiorClickBid.com at 8 a.m. Central Time both mornings. 86,800 head to be offered, 30,000 yearling steers, 18,200 yearling heifers, 37,000 weaned calves. For details, go to SuperiorLivestock.com or call Superior 1-800-422-2117.
Let's eat better. Let's eat healthier, and let's find simpler ways to do it. Make swaps while you shop, like whole grain bread over white bread. Use crock pots for easier dinners, and let your kids pitch in to make mealtime more fun. Together, we can all take simple steps to eat better and fill half our plates with fruits and veggies. Let's make every breakfast, lunch, and dinner a healthy winner. Get started today with tasty, healthy recipes at shapeyourfutureok.com, a program of TSET.
We're a week away from the scheduled signing of the Phase 1 trade deal between the United States and China. According to President Trump, it's going to be huge for U.S. agriculture, and that apparently includes beef. Aaron Boyer is economist with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Says we're still waiting for details about exactly how the phytosanitary standards currently in place for U.S. beef into China may or may not change.
Right. Yep. You hit it. China is the big one that's still out there that we're anxiously awaiting those details. And so hopefully, as President Trump tweeted, the signing on the 15th, we'll see. But yes, on the edge of our chairs. And as you allude to, and even as Ambassador Lighthizer has said, the other barriers besides just tariffs are supposedly addressed in this agreement. And there is, yes, a long list of those barriers facing our U.S. beef. I would note that China imposes these barriers on all of its suppliers, and our production system, we're not really set up to produce versus South America, where they don't use growth promotants anyway, and they have traceability requirements because of FMD. So it's kind of China's better positioned, or their production is already mostly China eligible, put it that way. Mm-hmm. Not the case for the U.S. So if we get big changes in the market access conditions, SPS or sanitary, phytosanitary requirements, then yes, it could be mind-boggling. The Chinese market has just been on fire again this year, and imports are massive. They're the biggest importer in the world by far, and those numbers, $7.3 billion worth of beef imported January through November. We will have bought in the U.S. somewhere just over $5 billion worth of beef coming into this country. We used to be the biggest importer in the world. So it's been quite a shift into China. And the U.S. currently, we account for less than 1% of China's imports. So it's only upward potential for us. But again, we're waiting for those details, and including on what the retaliatory tariff situation will look like, because that's also not really been forthcoming. And currently, U.S. beef pays 47% tariff into China. Australia is, this year, they'll be 5%, I think, through their free trade agreement. And so our biggest competitor pays, you know, basically nothing compared to what already very high-priced U.S. beef, because of the production requirements, pays into China.
So, you know, I know we've started some relationships. We've started building some relationships. The USMEF team has on mainland China. Where are we on that? Have we been able to start, you know, getting some folks really at least interested to talk about including beef, you know, U.S. beef in their mix?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Our China team, we kind of had to do some pep rallies this past year and a half, because it was a bit depressing, not only facing the retaliatory tariffs, but just the massive uncertainty, you know, not knowing what tomorrow might hold. These duty rates for beef have been relatively constant. So we got the 25% retaliation summer of 2018, and then that just increased by another 10% this past September. So they didn't end up varying that much, but still you had that uncertainty of not knowing whether the tariff may increase or go away tomorrow. So that's not healthy when you're buying very expensive product. And And so there's been that overlaying, but also kind of the efforts on the Chinese government side to discourage imports from the U.S. And that can be done in a variety of ways, but includes things like reference pricing used at the border. So this was had probably a bigger impact on pork than beef, but where Chinese customs says no, that price is artificially low, it's actually this, and then you pay an even higher tariff. So there's just been a lot of kind of quieter stuff going on to discourage the trade. But even so, China is importing more beef from the U.S. this year, despite all of these challenges, which is testament to the demand for our product. And USMEF, you know, our boots on the ground, they continue to work in the market every day. And just, we really doubled down on supporting the loyal customers of U.S. beef. And that is at both food service or restaurants, as well as the high-end retail shops.
Aaron Boyer of the USMEF. You've got the Beef Buzz on Ron.
This is Greg Griffith at the Oklahoma National Stockyards. We have been serving cattle producers here in Stockyard City for over 100 years, and the 9 commission firms at our market will showcase your cattle to the best buyers. It's still one of the largest stocker and cattle feeder markets in America. Bring your cattle to one of those 9 firms here in Stockyard City, and they will work hard to get you top dollar for your animals. Come and watch your cattle sell. Enjoy Stockyard City. Eat a tasty steak and shop for a pair of boots. We look forward to working for you at the Oklahoma National Stockyards.
And that's your Beef Buzz. I'm Ron Hayes reporting.